Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Thanks for allowing me to be a part of your Friday, allowing you to be a part of my Friday as well. Freddie Coleman in for Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Time to give you that recap and preview involving Game 2 between the Bucks and the Hawks tonight, 8:30 Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. Thanks to Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. You can also weigh in at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. I hate to put this out there. I don't want to do this to the great citizens of Milwaukee, but facts are facts. If your Bucks team loses Game 2 tonight to the Atlanta Hawks, we all have to believe the series is going to be over. They're going to go back to Atlanta. They could get one game. They may not even get one game, but that place is going to be out of their minds. If Atlanta wins tonight, then they go back to Atlanta with a 2-0 lead. Hawks down up 2-0, the Bucks down 0-2. Whew! I would not want to be in the shoes of Mike Budenholzer, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, or anybody in a Bucks uniform with all that pressure being down 0-2. But here's something else to think about. What if the Atlanta Hawks win this series? How possible is it that they could do the whole thing and win it? Now, for those who don't know, and for those who are too young, and I clearly understand that, the Atlanta Hawks have not been in the NBA Finals since the early 1960s. Don't add it up too many numbers. Don't bother. That's how long it's been. The last time the Atlanta Hawks were in the NBA Finals, gas was free in the United States. That's how long it's been. Well, what if they win this series? If they beat the Bucks tonight, it's done. Then Trae Young's star is going to be even like that. John Collins, his teammate. I've had a chance to talk with him on my show, Freddie Fitzsimmons, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio. He was on Janae and Golic Jr. yesterday. This is what he had to say about when he knew that that Trae Young dude was that dude.
Watching him his first year in the league and watching how much he wanted to improve, how comfortable he was with the game of basketball already. There's certain things that the guys do with a certain talent level that you can just pick up on. I feel like, especially me being in the league as long as I am, I have a great nose for basketball talent. And I feel like I've always, thought that Trae was, at an elite level basketball wise. He's been able to prove that now as we're on the biggest stage.
Yeah, and he's the biggest star in sports right now when it comes to Trae Young. And even Giannis knows that. He says, we got to knock him on his back. We got to be physical. We can't send him to the free throw line. It was as if Giannis Antetokounmpo said, I wonder what Charles Oakley's doing. Hey, Charles, need some advice. When you guys played against Michael Jordan, those guys, when you knocked them to the ground, we know it didn't work, but how do you do that? Because Trae Young's a lot smaller than Michael Jordan. Good luck trying to be more physical with him, because the Atlanta Hawks do a great job of making sure that they bring the physical to you by setting screens to get him loose. You may knock him down to the ground. You may be physical with him. If anything, that's going to backfire if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, and here's why. Because you're going to do something that's not in your character as a basketball team. The Bucks are a finesse team. They're not a physical team. They're not that kind of team, as Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, like to say, they don't make you feel you. They don't make you feel them when you try to get through screens and get downhill. That's not the kind of team that they are. If anything, the Hawks have two guys that don't mind laying the wood to you, and that is Clint Capela and John Collins. They will be physical with you, and they don't mind doing that. That's not in the Bucks' character. And if you try to do something like that, thinking that's going to work against Trae Young, guess what happens? It takes you out of sorts. You got to be who you are. You just got to be better at it if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you're going to be better at it, yeah, Giannis has to do it. Chris Middleton has to do it. But the guy that really has to do it is Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Because right now, and after game one, and anything can change in the series, but after game one, the Hawks are loaded with confidence because they're not playing with any pressure. Trae Young is like, y'all didn't think we were supposed to be here. Y'all didn't think it was even possible to even think about winning a playoff series. And I warned people, when they played the New York Knicks early on, I said, do not be surprised if the Atlanta Hawks win this series. I thought the Knicks would win in seven, but I wasn't surprised the Hawks won. And the way that they played, they showed they clearly were a better basketball team. Then they play a Sixers team that man for man has more talent than them, and they didn't wilt when they were down by 18 in one game and 26 in another game. And if you go man for man for man for man for man in this series with the Hawks and Milwaukee Bucks, the Bucks are a more talented team. But yet, I trust the Atlanta Hawks after game one a lot more than Milwaukee Bucks. And it's because, A, the Bucks have that pressure. B, the Hawks have no pressure. And C, Mike Budenholzer, I don't trust him in tight situations as the head coach of Milwaukee Bucks. If the Bucks lose game two, this series is over. We may start thinking about the possibility that the Atlanta Hawks could be NBA champions. And nobody was talking about that before this playoff series or even the regular season got started in the NBA. Freddie Coleman on Shanann Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Luke Witt hit me on Twitter, Coleman ESPN, saying, how is this possible? If I recall correctly, meaning it's possible the Hawks win the NBA championship. He says, if I recall correctly, the Hawks general manager followed the Warriors model and proclaimed that the Hawks would be the Warriors of the East 2-3 years ago. We laughed. We aren't laughing now. Hawks are must-watch basketball. I'm with you on the last five words. Hawks are must-watch basketball. But he can say whatever he wants. Even he didn't believe that, the Hawks general manager. We're going to follow the Golden State Warriors model, and in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be the Warriors of the East. Nobody saw that coming with the Atlanta Hawks. I give them credit where credit is due, that they've been able to do this, and they've been road warriors. Out of 8 games they played on the road, the Atlanta Hawks have won 6. They've won game one each and every series on the road, where Trey's doing the shimmy, he's doing the shake and doing all that stuff, but he's been making plays time and time again in game one of the series. When he did it against New York, he did it against Philadelphia, and so far he's done it against the Milwaukee Bucks. When you put up 48 points on the road against a Bucks team that is more talented than your team, that says something about you and how you've been able to elevate your basketball team and not just you. I can't even imagine that kind of pressure that's on Milwaukee when your guy's in that locker room and you know for a fact that you say to yourself, man, we're more talented than them. Yeah, they got that little Trae Young guy, but man for man, we're better than them. And yet you're down 1-0 in the series, and that pressure is going to be magnified playing at home. That's going to be a very nervous building in Milwaukee tonight, Fiserv Forum, because they remember 2 years ago, 2019, 2-0 series lead against Toronto. They're saying it's our time. The Bucks haven't won an NBA championship since 1971 when gas was 10 cents. They know that if they lose game two, they're going to be done in this series. That is going to be a very nervous building tonight in game two with the Bucks down 0-1 in their series in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Atlanta Hawks. And I wonder how much of that is going to radiate on the Milwaukee Bucks, feeling that nervous energy in the building that could possibly be there when game two happens tonight. Austin Anderson on Twitter, Coleman ESPN, says, if you had told me that the winter champs in two different sports would be the Montreal Canadiens in hockey and the Atlanta Hawks, I would think that the world is ending soon after that, LOL. We've gone through, Austin, enough world ending the last year or so with the pandemic. We don't need any more world ending LOL talk. We've gone through enough of that. If the Hawks win the NBA championship, if the Montreal Canadiens win the Stanley Cup, salute. That's all you can say. That's all you're supposed to say, because it wasn't given to either team if they win it. The Canadiens, if they win the Stanley Cup, they will have earned it. And if the Atlanta Hawks win the NBA championship, they will have earned it. It's not a pandemic thing. It's just the way that sometimes sports will shake down and break out. There have been no two better epitomes of that than the Montreal Canadiens in the National Hockey League and the Atlanta Hawks with their run so far in the NBA. We have not forgotten about Major League Baseball. Tune into a National League battle as the Dodgers host the Cubs, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. This weekend preview brought to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. So go to GEICO.com today. GEICO.com today. Keep weighing in on Twitter. Love to see what you have to say at Coleman ESPN. So Jason Kidd is going to take over the Dallas Mavericks from Rick Carlisle. And I guarantee you that whole dynamic between him and Luka Doncic will not be his biggest problem. I'll tell you what that problem is going to be next on ESPN Radio.
Shanann and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Freddie Coleman on Shanann and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget about the NBA Western Conference Finals on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow night, Game 4, as the Clippers host the Suns, with the Suns leading that series 2-1, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern Time on most ESPN radio stations. So in case you missed this, the Dallas Mavericks, they have reached an agreement with Jason Kidd as the new head coach replacing Rick Carlisle. Although, we don't need a GoFundMe page for Rick Carlisle. He's going to the Pacers, going back home, 4 years, $29 million. I think he's going to be all right when it's all said and done. But the fact that he left an organization that he had no designs on leaving to move on because Luka Doncic has that kind of stroke, that is something that Jason Kidd is walking into, or that the Dallas Mavericks have wanted him to walk into. To say this will be interesting, that's not even close to the headline. Especially when you have a guy, Luka Doncic, who knows his star power. He knows his superstar power. He has that stroke with the Dallas Mavericks, and everybody knows it. He has an owner that's going to be on his side to say, Luka, whatever Luka wants, Luka's going to get. And so Luka's on board with this hire, although he wasn't exactly feeling when Don Nelson, the general manager, decided to say, I'm out of here too. And Rick Carlisle said, well, my main guy's gone. There's no need for me to stay. So now you essentially have a whole new organization around Luka Doncic. And Luka understands that I had this kind of power. I'm going to make it work. Remember, this is a dude that played with grown men when he was a teenager, 16 years of age, with Real Madrid in Spain. He knows what a star looks like, and he knows it has his name written all over it. And when you got people that are going to move heaven and earth to make sure you're going to be happy, of course you're going to do that. Now, Jason Kidd, he's played with superstars too. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. He's played against, he knows some dudes that when they have that kind of authority power, they're going to wield that, especially when the NBA more than ever before is a player's league. Aaron Rodgers is trying to do with Green Bay what Luka Doncic has done now to Dallas Mavericks after barely 3-4 years. Aaron Rodgers knows he has power with the Green Bay Packers. It goes to a certain level. Luka Doncic is like, look, Rick Carlisle and I aren't getting along. What are you going to do about it? And Rick Carlisle said, I'm good. I'll leave. This is your team. I know that, and everybody else knows that. Now you got a strong-willed guy in Jason Kidd coming to the forefront to say, yep, I can be the guy that can get the Dallas Mavericks out of the first round. I'm going to be that coach to do for Luka Doncic what Rick Carlisle was unable to do the last couple of times. And also you have a guy, Nico Harrison, Nike executive, now the general manager. They're following that mold of what can we do to make sure that players are going to be happy, and we're going to bring in essentially a shoe guy to be in charge with Luka Doncic and Mark Cuban as player and owner respectively. Jason Kidd, be that buffer, because Luka's going to be the kind of guy that we have seen and heard. If something is not going right, he's going to let it be known. He's not biting his tongue. He's not shushing himself. He's not doing any of that. Now you got a guy, Jason Kidd, who is not going to shush himself either. If you're not doing things the way he wants it to be done, he's going to let Luka Doncic know about it. Mark Cuban can say the right things. He says he's super pumped that Mark Cuban's the head coach. All hail Jason Kidd. Mark Cuban is saying he's super pumped. We'll see how it goes. The first kind of turbulence, the first kind of adversity, and Luka's like, I don't care who you are. I'm not doing it that way. Or that's not the way we're supposed to do it. Oh, he's got to do it better. Then we'll see what kind of coach, buffer, ambassador Jason Kidd is going to have to be with the Dallas Mavericks as head coach. Freddie Coleman and Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. But here are the two things that should really concern Luka, Jason Kidd, Mark Cuban, and that organization, the Dallas Mavericks, the most. No matter who's going to be the head coach, it comes down to this. As much of a stud that Luka Doncic has shown to be, can another stud be attracted to want to play with him? Especially in the NBA. When you think about it, really in all sports, you can't just have one superstar and a bunch of also's or a bunch of maybe above averages. You got to have somebody that in talent level, in skill level, is going to be on board with him. For example, look at Tom Brady. He realized that the cover was about to be bare in New England. He scanned the landscape, went to Tampa Bay. Bunch of studs down there. Rob Gronkowski joined up with him, and all of a sudden you had an uber team that after a slow start won a Super Bowl championship, and it would not surprise you they go back-to-back. Luka looks around, sees the landscape. Kawhi's got Paul George. LeBron's got Anthony Davis. Kevin Durant's got Kyrie Irving and James Harden when they can stay healthy. I have not been able to get out of the first round without a dude. Is Luka Doncic enough of a superstar where other or anybody else can say, if we're together, we're going to do some things in the Western Conference. He won't have to worry about not getting out of the first round anymore. It worked one time. When you think about it, in the NBA in the last 20, 25 years, where one dude was able to carry a team to the NBA championship, it was the Dallas Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki. But more than likely, you're not going to be able to do that in this NBA in the 21st century at this level. Damian Lillard's trying to do it in Portland, and he may be thinking about leaving that team with a new head coach coming in that they have not hired yet. So can Luka be that guy where he can attract somebody else to join him as a ride-or-die dude to make sure he's not just a lone horse trying to do something like that? So that's the one thing. The other one is Kristaps Porzingis. For my money right now, he is the Dallas version of Ben Simmons of Philadelphia. And it seems that Luka is like, meh, about that guy being that guy with him. Because Kristaps said all the right things. I can't wait to join him with Luka. I'm through with my injury. We're going to be riding or dying together. And then after the playoff, Luka's like, oh, man, this guy? 7'3" of waist? With 3 years and more than $101 million left in his contract, that's the guy you want me to join up with or join up with me? I got a better chance of Jason Kidd doing it as my coach player than Kristaps Porzingis doing that. They don't exactly mesh personally and professionally. And yet, the Dallas Mavericks are going to be hard-pressed to get from underneath that contract. It's one thing if it was an expiring contract 1 year, but 3 years? Over $100 million for a guy that was a statue in the first round of playoffs? That's a lot of money to pay for the Venus de Milo that has been Kristaps Porzingis. And now you're thinking that he can be the guy to go along with Luka? At least Philadelphia is going to try to put a plan in place for Ben Simmons and hoping that he follows along. Dallas is like, well, we hope. We want them to get together. We think they can, but we're really not sure. That's another issue. Kristaps Porzingis not being that guy, and you owe him 3 years over $100 million. If Luka's thinking about signing that extension, he's going to weigh everything. And if it doesn't seem like it's going to be a good future, he can opt out and have a lot of suitors. And if he does decide to do that, then what, Dallas? Then what? Thanks for joining me, Freddie Coleman, on Chinay and Golic Jr. Don't forget about the Western Conference Finals, like I mentioned, on ESPN Radio. Game 4, Clippers hosting the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30, 8:30 Eastern time on most ESPN Radio stations. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference playoffs, what is the temperature in Milwaukee with their Bucks down 0-1 to the Atlanta Hawks? A friend will stop by to talk about that next to Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN+. Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Freddie Coleman on Chinay and Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN+. Plus. And Jimmy Comfort hit me on Twitter, ColemanESPN. He is not happy with the Bucks being down 0-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals Series to the Atlanta Hawks, and especially not happy with Coach Bud. He said, and I quote, hashtag Bucks should part ways with Coach Bud, win or lose. If they win it all, it will be in spite of him rather than with slash because of him. He doesn't make the necessary adjustments. Pure talent wins the games for hashtag Milwaukee. Yikes. Let's bring in my man Mark Kester. Does a great job as the play-by-play voice for the NBA and ESPN Radio. He and John Barry will have the call tonight for game 2 of that series in Milwaukee between the Bucks and the Hawks. He's here thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. Kester, you're in Milwaukee. What is the temperature in that city with their Bucks down 0-1 to the Atlanta Hawks?
Freddie, good afternoon. And you know, I thought he maybe had a week before people got that mad at him. It sounded like he only got a couple of days. My goodness, that's yeah, that's probably more on the extreme end. But are they nervous? Yes. Are they still confident of a turnaround? I'd say with some of the people you know I've seen around town the couple of days. You know, I heard more of, you know, I hope we can even this series up. There's still a confidence, but, you know, Trae Young has kind of thrown a little monkey wrench in here because, you know, he's been so good on the road. And, you know, most of the teams, in fact, all the teams, right, the Knicks and the Sixers both won game twos. So, you know, they feel there will be that adjustment. There was a semi-adjustment, if you will, in game in the fourth quarter that we talked about the other night when Milwaukee went small. But, you know, the opposite side of that was the fact that they got killed on the glass late. And so, you know, when we talked to Coach Budenholzer this morning, we asked directly, you know, if we're going to see more of that small ball. And he still wants to throw different looks at Trae, obviously. You know, so I guess I give him some credit for the in-game adjustment in game one, and hopefully some of the fans around here will give him a little bit of grace, though it doesn't sound like there's much.
Because we know how much energy in the Fiserv Forum, one way or the other, can affect the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's imperative they get off to a great start. But, Kesty, I believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo, this has to be his moment. He has to go beyond and beyond his head coach or whatever people feel about Mike Budenholzer. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you this, Nate McMillan is expecting Giannis to come full bore, full speed, downhill. Coach Bud wouldn't tip to us, you know, exactly what the message is to Giannis, or, you know, we don't get a chance to speak with the players on game day to feel, you know, what he thinks in that spot, but he's got to. One of the emblematic points of game one was when Giannis on a switch had Trae Young and didn't, you know, take it to the rim. He ended up settling for a fadeaway shot. So, you know, that was in the heat of the moment, and now they've lost. They've had, you know, less than 48 hours to think about it. So I would be stunned if we didn't see a very aggressive Giannis, whether it was his coach telling him to do so or Giannis thinks about it on his own terms, because I don't want to say they don't want to fall behind 0-2 headed to Atlanta, because they just came back from down 0-2.
Yeah.
But still, you don't want to lose those first two at home, even though it's stunning to me. Three teams have come back from down 0-2 in the same postseason, but you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, that's not a good recipe to think you're going to survive in the playoffs. You go down 0-2 once again by the Giannis, 34-12-9 in game one, where it was not enough. They lost by 3 to the Milwaukee Bucks. My man Mark Kestenscher, ESPN Radio, play-by-play voice of the NBA, part of the coverage tonight of game two between the Bucks and the Hawks. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Chanae Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. On the other side, you and I talked about this after game one. It's one thing to watch Trae Young doing what he does, Kesty. But it's another thing to announce it. What is it like that no matter what's going on in that building, that guy's going to bring his energy and he can just flip it just like that?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun and a little bit nerve-wracking to announce Trae Young, especially on radio, because you got to be so descriptive. You know, on TV, you can lay back and just kind of let it happen. We have John Martin, one of our former great executive producer, is actually filling in tonight, just flew into Milwaukee. And one of the great pieces of advice the chief gave me many, many, many years ago when he was trying to mold me was don't anticipate. That's the play-by-play man's curse. Just don't anticipate. Lay back a half second. And with Trae, it's very hard because you're watching the same thing he sees. And, you know, we're up above here in Milwaukee, so you get a great view of how the defense is reacting, and you know he's got three or four options, and you got to be ready for the one he takes, and you can't fall for it like some of the bigs do, live. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking. It's a lot of fun to watch. I know, you know, he's become kind of a target one in all these road buildings now, you know, for his antics as well as his great play, but it's something else to see. He really has taken a huge leap this year, and even above that, at the right time here in this postseason.
Number one, you know that you're going good when you can bring John Martin out of retirement, fly to Milwaukee to be a part of a broadcast. So that's something that Trae Young continues to do, number one. Number two, how much I don't get a sense of that he's a villain. I keep hearing that narrative, Kesty, about because he's going to opposing arenas and he's become a villain. I'm thinking, of course, because he's playing well. But he's not really villainous like a Reggie Miller or people like that. And they tried to make that comparison. I'm not receiving that from Trae Young. What about you?
Yeah, you know, we're not down there to really see it, but I do, being in the arena the other day, he talks a lot to the fans in the front row. Now, I don't get to hear what they're saying to him, so it could be a response to it. But he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't seem to care, if people are yelling at him. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't go over the line. That's a whole nother issue right there.
Sure.
But, you know, he loves to, you know, rub the arms. It's ice cold out here. You know, the shimmy before the three-pointer, the talk with the fans. So I guess, yeah, if you want to defend or define, you know, what is villainous, that's probably an extreme way to put it. But he doesn't mind being the guy that people are going to focus on and yell at. And you talk to any professional athlete worth their salt, and they all say the road boos are the best sound. The only thing better is when the road crowd is roaring and you silence them. So it's right there on top.
30 seconds left before I let you get ready for game two tonight involving the Bucks and the Hawks in Milwaukee. I believe this, Kesty, that the Bucks lose game two. They're losing this series, and it's going to be very interesting in the future, but we'll think about that for another day. But the Bucks are able to win this game, make it a 1-1 series. I get the sense this is going seven games. What about you?
Yeah, it does feel that way, and I feel the same in the West, too, where it looked like that was going to end in a hurry. So we could be looking at two long series here, and why not? You know, if we're going to have smaller markets in it, like every question I've been asked about, you know, we don't know these teams, we don't know the names, we're not used to it. Give me great basketball. Give me games 5, 6, and 7 with something on the line. And I think the league will be in great shape, and his fans will be in great shape, too.
Have a great call, Kesty. Tell John Barry I said hello, and and knock it out like you normally do, my friend. Take care and be well, Kesty.
And JB will say hi to you later. You're the hardest working man at ESPN Radio today. Pre and post, baby.
That's right. Double dip of Freddie Coleman. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but thanks, Kesty.
You got it, Freddie. I'll talk to you soon.
Our man, Mark Kester, ESPN Radio play-by-play announcer. Hit him on Twitter, Mark Kester. He'll be part of the Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 tonight on ESPN Radio. He and John Barry will have the call as the Bucks will host the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations. By the way, you can always hit me on Twitter. Love to see what you have to say at Coleman ESPN. Freddie Coleman in for Chiney and Golic Jr. And I can't wait to keep that same energy with a little help from Canada, Strong Island, New York, and the late, great Michael Jackson. This is ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Freddie Coleman and Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. In case you missed it today, other than Mike and Chiney not being here, Freddie Coleman in for both of those two. Had a chance to find out that Jason Kidd, it's been official. He's now the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. He's going to take over where Rick Carlisle decided to say, adios, I'm out of here. He's gone with the Indiana Pacers. But Jason Kidd, now in charge of the Dallas Mavericks, as the head coach, Mark Cuban said he is super pumped that Luka's going to love him. We'll see when it comes to all of that. It's one thing to say it. We'll see exactly how that's going to work out with Jason Kidd, the Hall of Famer, and Luka Doncic, who has all that stroke in that organization. It is time to send you off, hopefully, to a great weekend, and hopefully you'll keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
So let me get this straight. The Montreal Canadiens only acquired 59 points in the regular season in the NHL. They were fourth in their own division in the NHL. Are you trying to sell me the same Montreal Canadiens advanced to their first Stanley Cup final since 1993? A time of 28 years? Well, hell yeah, they did that. The Vegas Golden Knights, nobody gave the Canadiens a chance, and hockey is always better when they habitants are part of the conversation. It's hard to believe they have not been in a Stanley Cup final since 1993. The Bell Center was so excited when they won Game 6 last night in overtime that people could not leave the arena because there were so many people outside the arena celebrating, turning over cars, setting fire to things because that's what people do for some godforsaken reason. But how about the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Yankees of the National Hockey League, one of the worst records that we've seen in recent memory, and they are four wins away from winning a Stanley Cup championship. 2021 keeps on winning. Now, who are they going to face? Well, Game 7 happens tonight down in Tampa Bay. You got the Lightning on one side, the Long Island, New York Islanders on the other side of Game 7. I want to go back to Game 6. That building is going to be electric tonight. If it's half as electric as what was going on in Nassau Coliseum for Game 6, people are throwing beer cans on the ice when the Islanders won. That place was singing. They were chanting. It sounded like a soccer game at Wembley Arena. As a New York Rangers fan, I was feeling that. I'm like, man, these Islanders fans are getting it in and getting it done. We'll see if they'll be able to have that energy go from New York all the way down to Tampa Bay. Because, you know, Lightning fans are not liking the fact that the team's playing in Game 7 when they know they're a better team. But now it's all on in Game 7. Islanders on one side, Tampa Bay trying to make it back-to-back Stanley Cup appearances because they won the Stanley Cup last year. They're hoping to do the same thing. But, man, talking about keeping that same energy, I want to see what Lightning fans are going to do in response to what the Islanders fans did in Game 6 at the Nassau Coliseum. And then this. We can't even imagine that unspeakable tragedy to happen down in Miami, Florida. A 12-story condo building collapsed. They're still finding people buried amongst the rubble. Apparently, according to reports, This building has been sinking slowly but surely since the 1990s. But give a lot of credit to the Miami Heat organization, the Miami Marlins organization, the Miami Dolphins organization. They've had players and coaches offering help, being there on the front lines. Tyler Hero, for example, and two Miami coaches were there to offer help, to be there. And with this unspeakable tragedy that has gone on, and you don't know what kind of far-reaching effect that this is going to have on so many people, their families, et cetera, et cetera. You never hate to hear these stories, but you always want to try to find a silver lining if you can. And that silver lining was people from sports teams coming together to try to do everything they can, even beyond the fact of what the tragedy had the chance to be, to try to make things a little bit better, a little bit out of a time. Well done by the Miami Heat organization, the Miami Marlins organization, and the Miami Dolphins organization, providing that help when it's been sorely, sorely needed with that 12-story condo building collapsing in Miami, Florida. Freddie Coleman on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus, keeping that same energy. As you can see, wearing my Jackson 5 t-shirt from the old Jackson 5 cartoons. If you don't know what that is, number one, shame on you. Number two, shame on you. Number three, shame on you. And number four, just Google it. Find a DVD. Believe me, it's cheesy, but it's worth it. It's been 12 years, hard to believe it's been 12 years, since Michael Jackson passed away. And on BET Soul, they've been showing his videos all day. I look forward to that day. They call it a death anniversary, and they show his videos, whether it's the Jackson 5 or not the Jackson 5. It's always cool to celebrate somebody that's always going to be an icon, no matter how many centuries are going to pass. And I'm not going to mention the person's name, Shannon Penn, the producer. But he wanted to know, in my opinion, what is the best Michael Jackson album? And so I asked him a question back. I said, we're talking Michael Jackson inside the Jackson 5, with the Jacksons, by himself, what? He goes, it's your show, Freddie. Say whatever you want. Now, my favorite Michael Jackson album is Off the Wall. I know people love Thriller for good reason, but Off the Wall from start to finish, that is a better album than one of the greatest selling albums of all time when it comes to Thriller. I can pretty much recite word for word every song on Off the Wall when it comes to that. But the best Michael Jackson album is the first one, because he completely changed the game. When you had the Jackson 5 together, and no one, they were like the original, when you think about it, the original African-American boy band when it comes to the Jackson 5. That hadn't been seen before, and it ushered Motown into a different era. If you go back and listen to those songs on that first album with the Jackson 5, they still stand up to this day. ABC 123, The Love You Save, I Found That Girl, in which Jermaine Jackson, the ultimate secret weapon for the Jackson 5. The call and response that he and Michael had all the time was an underrated secret weapon of the Jackson 5. So for my money, as great as Off the Wall was, as great as Thriller was, Bad's underrated. But the best Michael Jackson album is the first one, because from that point on, so many people, so many groups, the Osmonds would not exist without the Jackson 5. Because their record company said, we can't have the Jackson 5 doing this to the teens. We're going to have the Osmonds do this. They were a complete and unstoppable franchise. T-shirts like the one I have on, cartoon on ABC for 2 years and everything. Michael Jackson is always going to be a revered figure. I know plenty of conversation about his outside the concert life. I get it. I understand that. But anytime I think about Michael Jackson, anytime I think about the Jackson 5 and what he was able to do and will always be able to do, it always makes me smile. So believe me when I tell you, when this show is over, I'm heading home, hanging out with my wife Denise, and we're going to be watching Michael Jackson videos all night long on BET Soul. He may be gone, but he is never, ever, ever, ever going to be forgotten. Don't forget to check out Spain and Fish. They'll get you ready for Game 2 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And they got Spud Webb stopping by at 7:30 on Spain and Fitz right here on ESPN Radio. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining me. Chinay and Golic Jr. on the mighty ESPN Radio. Take care. God bless. And as always, keep cool.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.